As she started past him, he touched her arm. Even though his hand was light, it sent a shockwave through her. His face was impassive. Raw emotions flickered in his eyes. She saw his torment, his need. But most of all, she saw his loneliness. He didn't want her to leave. Licking her suddenly dry lips, she said something she couldn't believe. "I have another TV in my room. Why don't you watch that one while I sleep?" He gave her a sheepish smile. Julian followed her up the stairs, amazed that she had understood him without his speaking, that she would consider his need not to be alone while she had her own concerns. It made him feel strange toward her, put an odd feeling in his stomach. Was it tenderness? He didn't know for sure. She led him into an enormous bedchamber with a large four-poster bed set before the middle of the far wall. A medium-sized chest of drawers was set opposite the bed, and on top of it was, what had she called it, a TV? Grace watched as Julian walked around her room, looking at the pictures on her walls and dresser, pictures of her parents and grandparents, of Selena and her in college, and the one of the dog she'd owned as a child.
"You live alone?" he asked.
"Yes," she said, moving to her Jenny Lind rocking chair by the bed where her nightgown was draped over the back. She picked it up and looked at him, and the green towel still wrapped around his lean hips. She couldn't very well let him join her in bed like that.
"Sure you could."
"No, I can't."
"Please?"
"Hush, self, let me think." She still had her father's pajamas in her parents' bedroom, where she kept all their possessions enshrined. Given the breadth of Julian's shoulders, she was sure the tops would never fit, but the bottoms had drawstrings, and even if they didn't fit in length, they would at least stay up.
"Wait here," she told him. "I'll be right back."
After she darted out the door, Julian walked over to the large windows and pulled back the white lace curtains. He watched strange, box-like things that must be automobiles move past her house, making strange droning noises that ebbed and flowed like a tide. Lights lit up the street, and other buildings all over, much like torches had once done in his own homeland. How strange this world was! So oddly similar to his, and yet so very different. He tried to associate the sights with all the words he'd heard over the decades, words he didn't understand, words like TV and light bulb. And for the first time since his childhood, he was afraid. He didn't like the changes he saw, the swiftness with which they had come to this world. What would it be like the next time he was summoned? How much more different could things become? Or even more terrifying, what if he was never summoned again? He swallowed at the thought. What would it be like to be trapped for eternity, alone and alert? To feel the oppressive darkness closing in on him, squelching the breath from his lungs as it lacerated his body with pain. To never again walk as a man, never to speak or to touch. These people had things now that were called computers. He'd heard the shop owner talk about them with a lot of customers, and one of those customers had said that they would one day, probably soon, completely replace books. What would happen to him then?